Thank you for everyone. Thank you, Praise Band, for singing and blessing us and for this beautiful day that we've gathered here in the space to worship God. You know, I show the pictures of Community Group Vandervoort and the cake and things. And Wednesday night, this happens every Wednesday night at the Vandervoort home. And this last Wednesday night, I was running a little bit late. Now, I very, very seldom run late. I'm very conscious trying to be on time for meetings and try to be early. But this time I was running late. And I get to the Vandervoort home and everyone's there, but they're all gathered in the living room right inside the door. And I think, well, how strange this is. Everybody's gathered in the living room here and right inside the door. I said, you know, usually you get here, people take their coats off, take their shoes off, and walk to the den area, and we sit and have our Bible study in there. So I expected to see everyone in the den, but everyone's standing around in the living room. I thought, okay, this is different. Hey, Scott, how are you doing? And meeting, talking to everyone. And then I put my tongue my coat and got my, you know, shoes off, and then I was focused to go to the den because I was running late. Don't like to be late. And went to the den. I started messing with the mean and the mirror the way I always do and wrestling around and things. But as I went to the den, I walked right by the kitchen because there's living room, there's the kitchen, right by the kitchen on into the den. And everybody's still standing in the living room. I say, you know, this is crazy. You know, and I'm in the den and, you know, messing around and getting trying to get set up for the Bible study. Well, then I stand and see everybody coming finally to the den, and I look to my right and I notice in the kitchen, oh, there's this cake sitting there. This huge, awesome retirement cake that Amin had gone all the trouble to bake for me. And I'm looking at that, I'm looking at this cake, and I'm thinking, how in the world is it possible that I could have walked right by the kitchen, right by this cake, just for me, made just for me, and walk right into the den area and have never seen it? Well, once we saw it, we knew what to do with it. It was a carrot cake. We cut up and we ate every bit of it. It was awesome. I mean, thank you for blessing me and thank you for making that possible. But the military has this word, term, it's called being situationally aware. Okay? It's being situationally aware. And that literally means whatever situation you are in, whatever is going on, that you are very aware with everything that's sort of going on around you. It's to wake up in the morning and to go to your car to drive to work, and as you're going, you're so aware and so alive to the day that's coming that you hear a bird chirping in the background and you give pause and listen to it for a moment. To be situationally aware is to be in the mall and all the people that are around you, but also to be able to hear the voice of a child who's asking his mother for a gumball from the gumball machine. You know, to be situationally aware is to be so in the moment that you could stand in the middle of the forest and see all the trees, but you see the beauty of each and every tree that is surrounding all around you. Now, I am not very situationally aware all the time. I am sort of a focused kind of guy. In fact, I've been known to walk in through the doors of Walmart, walking in, and there could be people I know walking right out the same doors, and I will never even see them or acknowledge that they're coming by me. And I'm not always very good at this unless I focus my eyes and make myself to be situationally aware of whatever is going on around me. But even though I'm really bad at this, thank goodness Jesus was awesome at it. He always was aware of whatever was taking place all around him. He was always sensitive to the one, the needs of the one, even in the crowd of the many. And Jesus was always in the moment. And every moment that Jesus was in was so full of Jesus that it brought possibilities to that moment that no one would have ever imagined or believed. And Jesus and his disciples are traveling. They're on the move. And we'll find in our story this morning how Jesus was so in a moment with a man named Bartimaeus that it changed his whole life. And we pick up our story in the book of Mark, chapter 10. verse 46 and falling. And it says, then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. You know, it's verses like this that help me believe that the Bible is absolutely true. Because the Bible is about real people in real world situations that lived at specific periods of time. And the Bible could have said, and you know, as they were in Jericho and they were there and they were ministering and they'd come into Jericho and people heard Jesus teaching and the excitement that he was creating. And as they were leaving the city, they went by this blind man beside of the road named Bartimaeus. Now, the Bible could have said he moved past by this blind man. And it could have been any blind man, or it could have been no blind man. It could have been a made-up story, but no, it says the blind man's name was Bartimaeus. He was a man, a real man in a real situation. And every time that people would leave Jericho or come back into Jericho, they would have to walk by Bartimaeus begging on the road. And I'm sure everyone in the town knew his name, and they knew what had happened in his life, and they knew that he was blind, and they knew that he was in great need. And so Bartimaeus is a real person with a real need. But not only does it mention Bartimaeus' name, it tells that he is the son of Timaeus. So Bartimaeus is a real person, but also he has his father who probably lived there with his mother there in Jericho because they had to help minister to their son. And everyone knew the family. And everyone knew his need. And so there was this great need in this individual. And the Bible is just not some kind of make-believe book with make-believe stories and pretend people. It's about real men and real women who have to face the harshness of life. And Bartimaeus is really blind. And the only thing that Bartimaeus knew how to do was to beg. Bartimaeus, what do you do for a living? Oh, I beg. What is your skill set? I go around begging a lot. What exactly have you done with your life? Well, I've come up with new and creative ways of begging and surviving and how to make money. You know, because he was blind, begging had always been a part of Bartimaeus' past. And it was consuming in his present. And if nothing changed in Bartimaeus' life, it would be part of his future. But Bartimaeus wanted his future to be different than his past. And so as he's sitting on the side of the road and longing for this future, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." You know, Bartimaeus couldn't see, but he could hear. His hearing was really good. And Bartimaeus had probably heard about this Jesus, as how Jesus had healed the blind, had helped the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, that he had healed a number of other people. And if maybe this Jesus could heal other people, maybe this Jesus would heal him as well. And so he gets up the courage, and as loud as he can, he says, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." You know, but notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Hey, Jesus, son of David, heal my eyes. Jesus, help me to see. Jesus, let me have my sight." No, he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, because Bartimaeus' light had been a life that was very unmerciful. It had been very hard on him. You know, he had experienced the brokenness of humanity in a very real and personal way. Every morning he got up out of bed, he was confronted with his blindness. As he tried to work throughout the day, he had to deal with his blindness. As he laid himself down in bed at night, the reality was that he would wake up the next day and the blindness would still be a part of his life. It was unrelenting. It was unmerciful. It made it so that he couldn't earn an income. It made it so that life would always be hard. It made life so difficult and overwhelming. It was almost unbearable, relentless, unchanging, unyielding. And all Bartimaeus wants is just a little bit of relief. Just a reprieve from what he had been experiencing. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And there's a world out there that just wants a little bit of relief, a little bit of reprieve. Just a mercy from the unmerciful situations they find themselves in. And whenever we are hurting, we should cry out to Jesus, because his ears are always attentive to the cries of his hurting children. But many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And as they were going along, the scripture says that Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Isn't this fascinating? That Jesus is going along and Bartimaeus calls out to him, and obviously Jesus hears Bartimaeus calling out to him, because otherwise Jesus would not have stopped. So if Jesus could hear Bartimaeus, then Bartimaeus could hear Jesus talk to him as well. So Jesus could have stopped and said, hey, Bartimaeus, come here. Bartimaeus, hey, I hear you crying. Hey, come right over here and let me heal you. Come here, Bartimaeus. He could hear Bartimaeus, so Bartimaeus could hear Jesus, but Jesus did not call to Bartimaeus, did he? Jesus said to the crowd, call him. Call him. You see, Jesus was counting on the crowd to be those individuals who would go to Bartimaeus and tell Bartimaeus that Jesus wanted Bartimaeus to come to him. And so Jesus went through the crowd to Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, when he heard that Jesus through the crowd wanted to see him, he jumps up and he gets all excited and throws his cloak off, and then he stands right there. Because Bartimaeus is blind. He doesn't know exactly where Jesus is at. So as Bartimaeus is standing there, then he has to rely on the crowd to bring him personally to Jesus. And I want us to understand something, that we are that crowd. We are those people that Jesus says to us, call them. Call them out of their brokenness. Call them out of their broken relationships. Call them out of the bad decisions they've made in their life. Call them out of the hopelessness. Call them out of things that do not satisfy. Call them from the lives that they have and bring them to me, so they can experience a new heart, a new life, a new hope, and a new future that I am just desiring and wanting to give to them. We are that crowd that Jesus is speaking to each and every week to be the people, to be the way that Jesus calls out to others. And then we are to bring the others to Him. Jesus says, just call them and bring them to me. And throwing his cloak aside, Bartimaeus jumped up to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. Now, throughout Jesus' ministry, he has asked a lot of amazing questions. But I'm not so sure this is one of them. Here is Jesus standing before him is a blind Bartimaeus who's probably out of breath, whose heart is pounding, who's just so excited he can't stand it. And Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know, and I'm thinking, man, Jesus, you got to be kidding me here. What do you think he wants? You think he wants a new do? You think he wants new sandals? You think he wants maybe a new cloak because he just left it behind in the dirt back there? Jesus, what are you kidding me? What do you think he wants you to do for him? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus knew. He knew what Bartimaeus wanted Jesus to do for him. He just wanted Bartimaeus to have enough faith to dare to ask for it. You know, Jesus could see the future that he had in store for Bartimaeus. But he wanted Bartimaeus to be able to ask for that future himself. You know, what is that future that you desire for your life? What is that future that is so radically different from your past and in your present? That future that you sense God has for you, has in store for you, that future that you just would reach out and grab hold of if you just had enough courage, if you just had enough strength, if you just had enough faith to ask Jesus for it. And Jesus knew the future he had for Bartimaeus. He just wanted Bartimaeus to be able to ask it and to know it for himself. Bartimaeus was blind, and he believed that Jesus could give him sight. So he took Jesus' challenge and said, "Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see." It's the same words of every person that begins to believe in Jesus. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Open my eyes, God, so that I can see you as a God, and let me wrap my life up in your love. Open my eyes, Jesus, so that I can see the sacrifice that you made for me and that you gave your life for me so that I might live out of that sacrifice. Open my eyes so that I might see myself and who I am in this world around me and what part I'm to play in the future that you have for me. Rabbi, Jesus, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Bartimaeus, your faith that calls you to shout out to me. Your faith that calls you to come to me. Your faith that asks for a future you want from me. Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You know, when I came to this part of the story, I had to stop. Because I knew this morning I would be speaking to people who are in some ways very much like Bartimaeus. People who, like Bartimaeus, have said, "Rabbi, I want to see, heal my eyes. Jesus, I want to walk. Help me to walk. Jesus, I have this disease. I want you to need you to heal me of this disease." And you've cried out like Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, heal me." But unlike Bartimaeus, Jesus has not immediately healed you. But he has set you free. Because you may be blind. That may be part of who you are, but that's not all of who you are. You're more than blind. It's because of Jesus. You're a child of God who's brought you to himself. And your disabilities may be cramping your lifestyle, but it is not crippling your spirit, because you're a child of the King, and one day your spirit will be in God for all eternity. And your disease may be dogging you out, but it won't destroy you. Because Jesus has set you free, your chains have gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed you. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love. Amazing grace. And Bartimaeus followed Jesus along the road. And maybe your heart today is shouting for you to follow Jesus more. Maybe for the first time, to begin to follow Jesus along the road that he has wants for you. To follow Jesus along the path that he has laid out for you. To follow Jesus into the future that he has waiting just for you. And one day to follow Jesus home. To heaven, as he will be there waiting for you. And the first step to following Jesus begins with the word, "Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life." Dear God, we even looked at an incredible story this morning. You ask everyone this question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And you know the incredible future you have for us. You know what you have down the road that's waiting for us if we would just follow you into it. But dear God, we cannot and will not realize the future, the freedom, the new heart, the new life you have for us unless we begin to take that first step and give you our lives and then, like Bartimaeus, follow you. Dear God, I pray wherever we're at in our spiritual life, if we're believers, I pray that we might believe you more. As we're seeking you, that we might desire your Holy Spirit more. As we're hungering for you, we might grow more. And that as we leave the facility today, that we would be your force to be reckoned with in this world around us. And dear God, if we're not a believer yet, that maybe we're one step closer, one day closer, one heartbeat closer to saying those words, Jesus, I give you my life. Lord, help us to follow you more. Go with us now into the afternoon to all that awaits for us. Guide us, keep us. Help us to be your light and your salt, and this next week, bring us back to worship you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.